Owning an investment property can be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. At Heritage Realty Property Management, they handle the challenges for you, ensure it's rented, maintained, and gets the highest return possible, while you just collect the check. With over 50 years' experience, you can trust Heritage Realty to provide the property care you want and rental knowledge you need. Visit heritagerealtyknox.com to connect with the team more landlords trust. Heritage Realty. We treat your property as if it were our own.
Scrappy basketball game, Advantage Tennessee. How the Volunteers went to Nashville last night, late midweek game, and stole a W in Memorial. Tyler Ivins and Will West, your Wednesday TSL begins now. As my grandfather used to say, got a little chippy last night, Will West. 99.1, you're listening to the Sports Animal. Tyler Ivins, that is William West, 68-60. The Volunteers, stupidity, but they only had a one-point lead going into halftime. They found a way to stretch it out. You know, with quick math, 84 seconds to go in that game. No, like 74 seconds to go in that game. Will West, it was tied. Tied with 74 seconds to go. Yep. Volunteers used a 8-0 run to wrap things up and give themselves that 8-point victory. Tennessee, now that they have a W back in the win column, 12-5, 3-3 in conference play, they now turn their attention to LSU this weekend back at Thompson Bowling Arena. Good morning.
Good morning. Really quality defense from Tennessee last night. I thought their ball movement at times was better than it's been in a really long time, probably since the Arizona game. There were other times it was the same old thing. You know what I mean? Like, just how many times with this team do you watch dudes drive into traffic where there's a, like, they
Chandler's a magnet to traffic, and it seems like.
And I'll just be real. They have green players, right? So Chandler, Ziegler, and Kumwa specifically, instead of, hey, when the double team comes, somebody's open, right? They just kind of give the ball right, drive right into traffic for some reason. But Tennessee last night, because of their ball movement, I thought, was able to get Vanderbilt in foul trouble, and they hit their foul shots.
Yes.
That's not something Tennessee's done in a really, really long time.
Last week, they were ranked 216th in the nation, Will. I'm not saying that it's astronomically better, but guess what? You're not in the halfway or close to the basement category.
25 of 29 last night.
That'll get it done.
Yeah, and that's why Tennessee won the game last night, is their ball movement, I thought, got Vanderbilt into foul trouble, and at times, but again, it was weird, so Tennessee's had a lot of those. There have been games where Tennessee just, they don't have those possessions with great ball movement, and they don't get them in foul trouble, or when they do, they don't hit the free throws or something like that. Last night, because the game was physical, you started getting a ticky-tack whistle. Tennessee took advantage of the ticky-tack whistle, got to the free throw line, hit a bajillion free throws. 25 free throws in the game on 68 points. I mean, that's more than a third of your points are off of free throws. If you can get that done and you can hit those free throws, you can win some games. Tennessee did it last night. Good for them.
Points off turnovers, they had 19. It was 19-9 in that category as well. So, look, when you're efficient from the free throw line, as you pointed out, they had 18 of those free throws coming to the second half. Well, which I get it. People foul late, and usually that's how it plays out more than the first half. Just more efficient in the second half for Tennessee. You have 19 points off turnovers. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I guess it might have a lot to do with what this team's wanting to do, wake up and get their attention, have their names called out more on the box score. 21 points off the bench as well. I'm going to be honest, it looks like around just the globe or around the box score, if you will, Tennessee had an efficient night from the floor. It's when you look inside the box score, when you watch that game last night, there are particular names and personalities that you still aren't getting the most out of.
They just don't know what they're doing with the basketball when they drive, right? There's not a, and so they're looking to go, you know, dribble drive penetration and not knowing what they're going to do with the basketball, not having anyone cut to the basket when that happens. So when the double team comes, they drive into the double team, pick up the dribble, or throw up a shot with two hands in their face. Way too often. Now, last night it was less than it was in the LSU game, and they've gotten a little better with it, and they're getting better with it. They just need to. You guys that can beat people off the dribble, they just need to know what in the world they're going to do with the basketball when they get there, and that's been a struggle for Tennessee right now. But I thought there were other times where the ball movement was fantastic. They switched. They moved the ball really, really well, especially on the outside. They just couldn't hit those shots. That ball movement led to so many really nice looks for Tennessee. And they flat out just missed the open jump shot. It's just a bad shooting team. The other thing I thought was there were times where Tennessee passed up a good open mid-range to try to drive into traffic a little bit or kick it out for a three-pointer that was contested. So they've got to they're just really, really green offensively. This might be as, I don't want to say unskilled because there are skills there, but the lack of understanding for this Tennessee team offensively, you got to go back to Buzzball probably to see it. Remember a Tennessee team that lacked understanding like this. So they're beating people off the dribble. They're getting open looks. They're getting those things. They're just not, they don't know what to do with the basketball. They don't move a ton without the basketball at times. There are times they move without the basketball, times they don't. How many times did you see two Tennessee players in the same area instead of spacing the floor properly? So I'm looking at this Tennessee team and I'm just thinking they're green, but at the end of the day, if you can do the basic things, hit your free throws, things like that, the Tennessee team's going to be a tough out for people because they defend really well.
And you can stay in those games while you're continuing to grow. It seems like in every single one of those late situations, Tennessee finds a way to learn something more about themselves.
Yeah.
We also start to learn a little bit more about this Tennessee team, like what the starting lineup's going to look like and what the points and what the minutes are going to look like divided up. Well, Wes, Urs Plosvich was on the floor last night at the tip.
He was good. That's the other thing. Is he was a sub. He had the dumbest foul I've ever seen in my life at the end of the first half. But he was a quality player, and he brought a lot to the table. And there you could tell that there were times that Vanderbilt was a little afraid to drive it in the lane. And yeah. So there was a healthy fear there for Vanderbilt with Urs being on the floor. You also saw, I think, and maybe it's because of the camera setup at Memorial, Fulkerson play a few minutes and he was winded, man. He was just, I mean, looked like he had nothing, just gassed. And after he played, every time he played a few minutes. And so I just wonder with him, and Chandler looked more gassed than he has, but he looked like he could handle it. Fulkerson looked gassed. And over again, he'd get in, play a few minutes, be gassed. And so I just wonder right now, is he struggling pretty big from what happened with COVID? Because I don't know that I've seen him look that gassed in a 30-minute performance before as he did for, you know, having 6 minutes on the floor against Vandy last night.
I want to talk about John Fulkerson on the other side. He only had 2 points last night, and he only appears in 17 game minutes. What is going on with John Fulkerson, and does Tennessee officially have a John Fulkerson problem? 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Good morning to you, Logan Ward. It's a Tennessee Lottery Sports Update, 610 for your Wednesday. You're inside the starting lineup on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Tyler, Logan Ward, and last night, number 24, Tennessee got a victory over Vanderbilt 68-60. Santiago Vescovi led the Vols with 14 points. Urs Plosvich and Kennedy Chandler each added 13. The Vols improved to 3-3 in SEC play. Elsewhere in college basketball, fifth-ranked Baylor outlasted West Virginia 77-68. Florida State upset number 6 Duke in overtime 79-78. And seventh-ranked Kansas survived a scare from Oklahoma 67-64. In the SEC play, Arkansas beat down South Carolina 75-59, and Missouri hammered Ole Miss 78-53. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to raise more than $6 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. To learn more, visit tnlottery.com at 611. More Vols and Vanderbilt talk coming up next on the starting lineup. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
Well, Wes, Rick Barnes was a man of his word. We're going to mix some things up, and we're going to find some people who want to play. Well, not only did they mix things up when it came to the starting lineup last night, but Brandon Hundley-Hatfield, 13 minutes, just 4 short of what John Fulkerson gave Tennessee last night, 17. On the scoreboard, though, John Fulkerson, we asked yesterday during Love It or Leave It, John Fulkerson averaging 8 points per game this season. Would he score more than his average per game this season in a game against Vanderbilt? Well, the answer is no, because he averages 8 and he scored 2 last night. John Fulkerson, Tennessee got the win, but it's still magnified of what's going on whenever he's not starting a game in Vanderbilt last night. And as you pointed out last segment, Urs Plosvich gave you 13-7.
Yeah.
And he was very, very physical in the paint last night for a Vanderbilt team who was going to try to bang on him. What are your thoughts on what we saw for 40 minutes when it came to the big guys?
And Urs only had 2 fouls in a night where there were some ticky-tack calls. And look, a night where you had 49 fouls called in a game and Urs only had 2 fouls, which has been a problem with him, and he only turned the ball over twice. So I do think that those were really nice minutes from him. And again, I don't think I've noticed before, but the cameras, the way they have to set it up differently, kind of over to the side a little bit because of where the benches are at Memorial, I don't think I realized how gassed Fulkerson looks when he's playing. I mean, he runs a 4-minute shift, 6-minute shift out there of game time, and he looks gassed. And if that's where he's at right now, that's where he's at right now. So I don't know if there's any reason to rip him. Just let him get better. It's all you can do from here. He needs to be, and I thought Dane said it last night, it doesn't have to be what he was at Rupp Arena 2 years ago. It doesn't have to be what it was against Arizona every single night. But if he can play like a third, I've said this all year. If he can play like a third team all SEC player, then I think Tennessee's going to be a tough out. Now, again, the one thing Tennessee's got to do is those inexperienced guys got to figure out what they're going to do with the basketball, dude. Yep. They just keep driving into traffic. And also, how many times did you watch them dribble and there's a cutter or the double team's coming their way and they don't think to pass the ball? Or when the one time Chandler did, he passes up the open jumper,
yes,
waits for the defender to rotate to him, and then throws a pass behind Kumwa. Those are the things that Tennessee's got to clean up between now and March. And if they can clean those up and hit free throws, they're going to be a tough out. And these are things that you can fix, frankly. It's just a matter of they've done a really good job. I understand why Rick Barnes is putting an emphasis on the defensive end with this team so much more than he has in the past. Because if you remember, Rick Barnes got here, what's the first thing he said to us on the air here was, I've coached defense my whole life. Now I want to coach offense. I just want to have some fun. And it was effective. This team's different. This team, he's saying some of those same old things of, well, a good defensive possession leads to good offense. No, it doesn't, because this team doesn't get out on the break.
Right.
But I understand why. Because they are really green offensively. And so you're going to have the type of defense where you hold Vanderbilt to 60 points last night to be able to win games.
You know, earlier this week, you brought up Justin Powell giving up too many open looks. We made comments about the fact that he was playing 19 minutes and not taking any shots. Have we got to a point in time now? Heck, there were last year Victor Bailey. Heck, there was last year Jaden Springer. There were opportunities for a lot of these players to fill up the stat sheet, and we saw them making the extra pass and perhaps passing up open looks. And we were looking at them kind of like maybe perhaps it had been beaten to their head too much where they were becoming gun-shy to even pull the trigger on an open shot.
I just think they missed so many of them last year. I think that Johnson and Springer, how many times you watched them beat somebody off the dribble in a 12, 15-footers there, and they missed that floater? I mean, it was a lot. And so I think they were gun-shy because they weren't hitting shots. I do think last night Tennessee's team in the first half was gun-shy because they weren't hitting shots. And sometimes that's Memorial. You know what I mean? The sidelines, I've always been told the sidelines are bad at Memorial. And
I asked you that question off the air yesterday.
Neither team was hitting shots, if we're just being completely honest. Neither team shot well. 36% for Vanderbilt, 33% for Tennessee from the floor, not three-point land. 30% from beyond the arc, 21% for Tennessee from beyond the arc. Tennessee's ball movement, especially early in the second half, first before that under 12, when that under 12 timeout come about 9 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Tennessee's ball movement got them so many looks in the second half, they just couldn't buy a basket. And so if you've got just a wide open jumper like that because of really nice ball movement, instead of it being like it was against LSU at times, 2-3 passes on the perimeter, somebody just throws up a three with a hand in their face. It wasn't that last night. So for people who didn't stay up and watch the game, who just see the box score, they're going to think same old, same old. It wasn't last night. They improved a lot of things. They just missed them. And I don't know what you do with that.
Is this the new norm now for John Fulkerson?
No. It's just got to get his win back.
And what I mean by that is, do you believe he's going to be sitting the next couple of times, maybe perhaps coming off the bench? Are you going to see him perhaps maybe give way to Uros? Are we going to see more Brandon Hundley Hatfield? Yeah, is last night what we're going to see the new norm?
Well, you can't play him 30 minutes a game right now till his win's back. So this is what he's going to give you what he can give you. And that's if you're Tennessee right now, instead of if he's trying so hard to be out there, you're going to have to be the one that limits him if he doesn't understand his own limitations because he's young and he wants to do everything he can for his team. I'm not going to fault a guy for that. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it is a fault. You know what I mean? Like if you're trying to do too much for your team and you can't get it done. So right now, until his win's back, I think that you're looking at what you're looking at. And so Uros gave you a great game. Is he going to do that every game? No. But also, Kumwa's not going to be that bad most games.
Right.
So, and those are the two things. And when Fulkerson was there, you saw him cut to the basket and doing things like that. Kicking balls back out. I mean, how many times on the for the offensive rebound Tennessee had? What, they have 14 last night? How many of those were Fulkerson or Kumwa or Plavzic kicked the ball back out to an open shooter?
Right.
And Tennessee then misses the open three-pointer after that. I mean, that was just kind of the story of the game last night for Tennessee, especially in the second half.
I met a client yesterday out in East Knoxville with one of our salespeople, and he listens every day, and he brought up yesterday while we were waiting to kind of get things in order. He goes, you know, I liked Will's point today at the end of the show where he said you might be just looking at apathy right now if Tennessee loses to Vanderbilt tonight. Tyler, do you really believe beating Vanderbilt tonight is going to remove them away from that kind of category of apathy? And I said, no, but beating LSU as well would probably maybe help out a lot.
Well,
help out a lot. Where do you think Tennessee is now? Are they how far they've removed themselves from an we feel bad 3-3 Tennessee team. Because that is an SEC victory. Scottie Pippen by himself last night tried to push Vanderbilt to the finish line.
I think that it kept people from going over that edge.
But how far removed did they take steps back?
None. There's just not over the edge now. It's what you avoided, not what you gained.
Okay.
With Tennessee last night, with where the fan base is. And a lot of that's, look, most of that's, it's an 11 o'clock. It's a 9 o'clock tip against Vanderbilt at Memorial. It was just an awful game to watch. And most games at Memorial are. And it was late and most people didn't watch it. Like the vast majority of people, I'll just say this. I bet 5 times the number of people watched the Dallas Cowboys Niners game, if not 6 times, then watched Tennessee Vanderbilt last night.
I bet you're
right?
Spot on.
Probably wasn't a particularly great number.
No.
But the people who woke up today, saw the score or saw on social media the score and went about their day. If Tennessee loses that game, they probably like kind of don't care a whole lot about Tennessee basketball. It becomes a social event for them, like Tennessee football has so many times over the years, as opposed to day in, day out, pay attention to what this team's doing or game in, game out. Tennessee avoided that last night.
Yeah, they also avoided running into a decent opponent because if Tennessee shoots 21% from three, they usually are on the wrong side of the final outcome. They go from shooting 40% from deep to 21% from deep. Tennessee's going to need to hit those deep shots at home on Saturday if they have a chance against an LSU team.
I don't know that they're a team that's a good enough shooting team to do a ton better, but they're probably not going to be that bad, right? I wouldn't say. But if they can just keep working that ball movement, that's something that's going to be that could help them a ton, is to be able to move the basketball the way that they did. I think it helped set up the Vanderbilt to be in foul trouble, mm-hmm. and it gave them so many more open looks. But they hit their free throws. That was the big thing for Tennessee last night. They haven't done it in a while. South Carolina game a week ago. You ready?
Yep.
11 of 25 from free throw line. Kentucky game. 6 of 11 from the free throw line. Vanderbilt, 25 of 29. 85% versus 44% versus 54%. And that's why Tennessee won the basketball game last night.
656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Tennessee, inconsistently on offense, those are issues. Tennessee football, on the other hand, they're setting the bar pretty high for what the rebound's going to be in the sequel of Tennessee football, year two under Josh Heupel. Is this one of the best offenses, if not the best offense we've ever seen in Tennessee football? We'll tell you next year on the starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal. Tennessee finishes the college football season ranked with the number 7 offense out of 130 teams. In some categories, it's the best that Tennessee football has ever seen in the history of the programs. We welcome you back. 99.1, the Sports Animal. He's Will West, Tyler Ivins. Will West, Tennessee this year. Once Hendon Hooker took over and got in the driver's seat, not only did they kick that sucker to drive, but man, they were shifting to fifth gear immediately, and this team started cruising. The question is, though, was it the best that we've seen when it comes to dominating performances at the level that we see inside the numbers?
Tennessee tweeted this last week. Are you ready?
Yeah.
There were, I believe, 8 single season offensive records the Tennessee football team this year. 511 points. Previous was 494 in 1993. 67 point after attempts, with previous record was 63. Fewest interceptions thrown. Which that's incredible, right? That they have fewest interceptions thrown in a season, considering the quarterback play they've had this year versus some other years. When you had Heath Shuler was a top 5 pick, when you had a Peyton Manning who was the number 1 pick, passing efficiency highest since 1993. You have to go back to total first downs 1997. You go back to total offensive yards 1994. You go back to touchdowns 2016. You go back to rushing first downs 1987 is how far you go back for that one. I think this is I think it's the best. And here's the thing. I think there's so much room from here. Now, it's an era of offense right now, and there's a different level of offensive ingenuity that is happening out there in college football right now. But I think that was the best offense we've ever seen. Is it the best collection of offensive players we've ever seen? Absolutely not. Or offensive talent we've ever seen? Absolutely not. I think that was the best offense we've ever seen in Tennessee football, in the history of Tennessee football, and I think it's going to be better next year.
You know what? I want to pause here for a second, give credit to Josh Warren from 180.
Never, we don't do that, actually. Contractually, I don't have to do that.
Well, Logan Ward and I were just talking off the air inside the studio. He came up with this all by himself. He definitely wasn't playing devil's advocate with Josh yesterday. Is there a level of concern, or should there be at least a highlighter to that number and think to yourself, this was arguably the best offense Tennessee football has ever put on the field. It was ranked 7th in the nation. But, Will, it was only good for 7 wins this year.
No, I mean, because you were a bad call away from, I think, knocking off Ole Miss, Purdue, Pitt, maybe. And so if you get, I mean, you got to think, and again, look at Ole Miss this year. Ole Miss was a couple lucky breaks away from being a 7-5 team themselves.
Right.
That's football in the SEC right now. It's an arms race. And so a bad call or two will just be the end of it. I would also say I went back, like we went back in the middle of the season. The last time I can remember from the beginning of camp to the end of camp, you lost 4 offensive starters on an offensive line was the Will Muschamp team that fell apart.
Right.
That they, was it 3-9? Is that what they were? Something like that? Or 4-8? 4-8. Yeah, Logan, 4-8. That's the last time that somebody lost 3 in-season offensive line starters and 4 from the beginning of camp that I can remember seeing in the SEC. And that team won 4 games. And they had a lot of talent on it.
Right.
And that was coming off of, an 11-win season, I want to say, the year before that. And so just when you lose offensive line starters like that Will Muschamp team did, or like Tennessee did this year, winning 7 games is god dang miraculous.
So when you all throughout the season, and please hear me when I say this because I want to make it seem like that you say things that you don't believe, the Stephen A. Smith.
So however.
brother, the midweek programming, midday programming this past week has been incredible. I've been sucked in. But question. This team can really ride this elevator up to the next level, Ole Miss style.
I think so. I think
stay healthy. Maybe get the good. These calls don't go against you as much as they did this year.
The SEC is going to be better next year. That's one thing I believe. You're not going to see where Florida, LSU are both going to blow their coaches out because of how the bottom falls out of it.
Right.
And Ole Miss. It took, I thought, a bad 2-point conversion decision and play call from Sam Pittman against Arkansas. I thought the Tennessee game of Tyler Barron's given that touchdown like he should have been. Then I think they lose that game. And so I think that Ole Miss got real lucky to be able to get the 10 wins this year. So I don't know that they're going to get 10 wins, but I think they go 9-3 next season. Like the same way I said, I think they go 7-5 all offseason long last year and didn't move from that. I think that they go 9-3. And I think there's a better chance they go 10-2 than there is 8-4. In the same way, I thought there was a better chance they go 8-4 this year than 6-6.
Okay.
That's where, if I was a Tennessee fan, you live with, look, if you're 8-4 already in year 2, that you're ahead of the schedule from what you normally want to look at. Normally, when you hire a new coach at a place like where Tennessee was, especially with where the roster was, you want to be at 8-4 by year 3. And then from there, let's see what you can do. I think that the floor, unless you just get killed by injuries again, I think you're looking at it 8-4, 9-3. I think 9-3 is the more likely scenario, and 10-2 is definitely not off the table.
Overall, when you look at Tennessee this season, do you believe that the defense can get better to make the offense even more efficient? Because I don't know whether this is strictly on the defense giving up so many points that they did, or it's because the competition they play. I realize Tennessee's only one of 2 teams every year who plays Georgia and Alabama, who are in the national championship this year, but there's got to be something that can combat knowing that you're getting 2 guaranteed losses, it seems like, every year on your calendar.
Well, you just got to get, all you can do is control what you can control, right? So if you're Tennessee, you got to look at it and say, the linebacking core can't be worse.
Well, haven't we learned working here in Knoxville that if you say it can't be, then it certainly can?
I think it was that bad. I think it was so bad that I don't know if I've ever seen another SEC linebacking core as bad as. And Jeremy Banks got a lot better as the season went along. Everybody around him did not. And I don't know if Aaron Beasley, probably he wasn't ready to play yet, and you were forced into that situation a little bit because of the lack of numbers. You probably would have liked to have waited another year before you played Aaron Beasley, but he wasn't ready. How many teams did you see this year that were like Tennessee and SC and all the football you watched, where everybody looked at it and said, I got a corner on the one side, right side of my offense, I don't need to throw the right because Alante's on that side. I don't need to throw that way. But I know if I throw left, I'm going to get it just about every time.
And so, I'd say that was a pretty easy decision to make multiple times.
And especially the last half of the season, teams knew that walking in. And that if I throw left, I'm fine. And that we're going to be very successful doing that. So you got to think that can't be worse than it was this year, right?
Oh, so then I'll just focus in on that. Does Tennessee have a Warren Burrell problem? Does Tennessee have a they have to improve in the secondary?
I just think they have a corner problem. And so because Alante's not there anyway. So they got to get better there. And so I do think another year with Willie Martinez is going to make them better. Mm-hmm. They've got to work on some things because they don't have speed at the back end. I think they're probably you're going to see them work the transfer portal and things like that to try to get better on the at the secondary positions. But to me, that's what you're doing right now. If you're Tennessee, is you're trying to get better there. Or there have been guys who haven't been the fastest students in the world that have been able to make it. They probably are, frankly, slower than Warren Burrell, who had enough. Had figured some things out on technique to make up for the fact that they don't have the high-end foot speed. You don't have to go out there and be everybody doesn't have to be Deion Sanders or Darrell Revis. Cam Sutton wasn't the fastest guy. Cam Sutton's going to play hard. Cam Sutton was as focused of a human being as you're ever going to see in your entire life. And Cam Sutton worked his hind parts off. And so I think that, I don't know if Warren Burrell's not Cam Sutton, but he's not any less of an athlete than Cam Sutton is, I don't think.
Do you believe Tennessee this year perhaps maybe missed their shot to do something on the first year, the first opportunity? Look, I understand that you can't adjust to Josh Heupel's offense every week, but my question to you simply is this. You know how like you face a military team and you know you're getting the triple option? Did Tennessee miss that opportunity to kind of, hey, first year we're going to catch you on the fly and we're going to be able to pile up as many wins? Can this offense get adjusted to year in and year out?
No, I don't think so. I think that now – with so many people going tempo like this, people are going to try to do things to adjust.
Okay.
And they'll catch up to it because defenses always catch up. But I think in Tennessee's offense is going to get better in what they
do. Do you remember when I asked you a couple weeks back, I just said, hey, is there any way that they're going to surpass the 512 mark next year, total points scored? You go, oh, yeah, I think they're going to go way over.
Yeah, I
agree. My concern is that people are going to see Tennessee coming up on the calendar 2 weeks and go, okay, guys, we have 13 days to get ready for Tennessee.
I just, how do you prepare for that in a single week? I agree with you. It is almost a little bit like, it's similar in that you only have a week to prepare for, and there's no way to prepare yourself for a triple option in a single week. It's no way to prepare yourself for Tennessee in a single week. And also, your offense can't go that fast if you're an opposing team's coach. So you can't really prepare yourself for it. I would also say this. What Josh Heupel's doing isn't anything incredibly intricate. Again, it's the chess versus checkers, right? There'd be dudes that were playing. They're playing chess. I'm playing chess. You're playing checkers. Tennessee's playing checkers. They're just doing it so fast that you can't keep up with how fast they're playing checkers, and you're going to screw up at some point in time. And when you screw up, that's when Tennessee's going to get you.
Will West, Tyler Ivan, 656-9900. Woodge on the other side. Hey, and we also have more ski rental and ski lift passes for you for Wolf Ridge Ski Resort. I'm telling you, if you're looking for that opportunity to head to West North Carolina, it's happening in hour number three of the program. 99.1, you're listening to the Esports Animal.
Number 24, Tennessee took down Vanderbilt last night 68-60 to move to 3-3 in SEC play. Santiago Vescovi led the Vols with 14 points. In the SEC, Arkansas beat down South Carolina 75-59. Missouri hammered Ole Miss 78-53. In the NBA, the Timberwolves took down the Knicks 112-110, and the Warriors handled the Pistons 102-86. And former Tennessee quarterback Harrison Bailey has committed to transferring to UNLV. Have a little fun with Instant Games. January Instant Games are available now at any tee and lottery retailer with top prizes ranging from $5,000 up to $500,000. It's 641. Pete Michaels Traffic's up next. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
One of these days, you're going to sit down with me.
It's exactly as difficult as it sounds.
And Grasshopper over here is going to learn some things.
You know what? I'm learning about trial and error, so hopefully I'll be able to explain it to you the right way.
I was talking to Vince the other day. I was taking a look at the downloads of the podcast, how many people tune into us after we hop off the air at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Big shout out to them, man.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Big thank you to them. And all I can say is that the fact that Will likes to get up every the fact that Will gets up every morning and hangs out
I don't like to get up.
I had to stop myself. The fact that
I love doing this show, but the morning should start at 10 a.m.
My goodness, you are not kidding. Last night, by the time my head hit the pillow, you know what? Can we blame 9 o'clock SEC Network? I'm going to call it Tom Hart and Dane Bradshaw. Okay. Look what you guys doing.
Let me throw out a start bench cut that has nothing to do with what's going on the show right now.
Actually, God, I love these. Go.
Okay. Start bench cut. Most annoying thing about being a Tennessee fan. The cold weather for the Kentucky game every single year in Lexington. Dealing with Florida fans when you go to the swamp, bags of urine and what have you.
Yep.
The 9 o'clock tip on SEC Network whenever you play usually Ole Miss on the road. Or you play at Memorial.
Somebody who has had to wait 3 and 4 additional hours after a blowout loss at Ben Hill Griffith Stadium because somebody put a 9-iron through my buddy's windshield.
Yeah.
I'll start the Florida urine golf cart, golf clubs through the window. I'll bench the television window, and I'm going to cut the cold. The cold I'm kind of just numb to by now.
Yeah.
But that's how bad it is.
It's not as bad since they've done the upgrades, from what I understand, at Kroger.
Right.
So I've been used to when that Wynwood went through there. That was rough. But
no,
they have a legitimate stadium now.
I don't know, but that 9 o'clock window against teams like Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, it's where it's just offensive, it's an offensive wasteland, it seems like, anytime they play.
Players don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. Tom Hart wants to be there, though. He and Dave Bradshaw, good for them. They're the only ones. I appreciate the Belle Biv DeVoe reference last night.
You heard that, too.
Yeah.
Nothing gets past this guy. Let's see how well he does with Woodja. Logan Ward, good morning to you. What do you have for us?
Alrighty, boys, last night, Yost Plasvich started over John Fulkerson in the Vols 68-60 victory over Vanderbilt. Would you say Folky will come off the bench yet again this weekend against LSU?
Yes, I would. I think Yost is going to start again. Don't mess something that went well last night. And you want to see if he's going to respond again. I think that you're going to start seeing this dividing of minutes in the similar form, too. I think Yost is your starter. Doesn't matter who gets the Jeff Jarnigan big starting lineup voice. It all matters who gets the minutes when it comes to box score. I think Huntley Hatfield's probably going to get you another 14 to 16 minutes as well.
Hey, he was gassed last night. Gassed. There was a stretch last night where he played about 4 minutes of game time and looked like hand on his knees, gassed. I don't think he's recovered from COVID yet, and so I think he has to start from the bench. So, yes, I would say that Fulkerson comes off the bench, and it's the right thing to do.
Yep.
Despite being jumped by Gonzaga for the number one spot in the new AP poll, Auburn is listed as the number one overall seed in Joe Lenardi's recent bracketology. Would you say the Tigers reach the top spot before March Madness?
I would not. No, I don't think that they do.
They'll never be ranked number one.
No. Oh, will they be ranked number one? Yeah. They may be ranked number one for a game. I just don't see Gonzaga losing again.
That's the problem.
Because who they play? Ain't played nobody, Paul.
There it is.
So
St. Mary's might give them a run, but that's it.
Maybe at the end of the tournament, but I doubt it. Right now, I'm not picking Auburn to win the SEC tournament. I think that'd be the third team I'd pick to win the SEC tournament if I was doing a pecking order. So I guess I would say they're not going to make it.
I baited you into that answer because the answer is no, because Gonzaga's not going to lose again this year. This was Auburn's only chance to be number one. That's why we chatted about it on Monday. Gonzaga ain't losing the rest of the year.
What about Arizona? Are they going to lose the rest of the year?
Somebody in the Pac-12 is going to bump them.
I think you're right.
It happens every year.
If you think about it, that Arizona team, whatever they did to the officials in that Tennessee game, I'm not saying that's the only thing that cost them the game, but it helped cost them the game.
Yeah.
They took the officials off, and the officials had a vendetta against them in that game for all the mouth running that they did. And otherwise, they're an undefeated team outside of that Tennessee loss
that
right now.
That game seems like 3 months ago.
It does.
Tennessee's 4 weeks ago?
Really? Yeah, Tennessee's a very different team right now.
Plus that whole Pac-12 comment, Arizona's going to go somewhere they shouldn't lose and just drop
the ball.
So like Palo
USC
Alto
or something like
that. They'll go up to Seattle They'll sleepwalk through a game and get got.
It's 6-27 shooting performance from beyond the arc, and it is what it is.
I watched USC sleepwalk through that game against Stanford, and USC is in a similar state.
Reports out of Pittsburgh have the Steelers preparing to move forward with Mason Rudolph as their starting quarterback in 2022. Would you draft a quarterback this spring in Las Vegas?
I would. I know some people are against it. I think if you talk about a quarterback who fits what they're doing in Pittsburgh, I understand they did it once with the whole stay-at-home scheme. Go get James Conner out of Pittsburgh, and he looked great, and everything felt. I bet they wish they still had James Conner and Najee Harris in the backfield this year. Will, I know this is nuts, and maybe I'm looking for that feel-good heartstrings thing. Go get Kenny Pickett. Use that pick in the 20s. Get Kenny Pickett.
If he's there.
And see if you can get a quarterback. Look, we've tried this before. If you think you're moving forward, Mason Rudolph is your quarterback, perhaps this is the grand scheme of him not doing well so you can be ready for the next awesome class in 23.
I would look to see, how far does Carson Strong fall because of the knee injury? And I would say maybe you try with him and you roll with Mason Rudolph. I would not draft anybody in this draft and expect them to be a franchise quarterback. So I would look at it and say, who can I get that can go be someone that can compete for my starting job? And maybe they're Jalen Hurts style.
Yeah.
And if they end up with the starting job, they end up with the starting job. But if I was Pittsburgh right now, that's what I would do.
Did either of you look at Mason Rudolph at Okie State and go, future NFL quarterback?
No, not at all.
I was blown away when he got drafted.
It's like Petrino. It's like overcoming Gundy's system is hard. You get or Briles, when the Briles system.
Sure.
Overcoming that system to make it in the NFL is awfully hard.
As we get ready for the divisional round in the NFL playoff, we look back for the final time at the six losers. Who would you say needs the most this offseason to return to postseason play in 2022?
That's an interesting question. Who's the one loser from this past weekend who needs the most work? Because the easy answer would be Pittsburgh, but I don't think it's Pittsburgh. For me,
I think it's Vegas.
It's Vegas, right? Because especially if they move on from Carr.
Yeah.
Based on the team they have right now, can this team win the AFC West or at least get an AFC wild card again out of that division?
Maybe, but it's going to take somebody choking again or dealing with injuries. Otherwise,
is New England good?
They're fine. I don't know that they're going to be a whole lot better than they are right now.
Okay.
But they're fine.
Is Dallas okay?
Dallas is fine. I don't know that they're going to be a whole lot better than they are right now, but they're fine.
If it's not Pittsburgh and we highlighted Vegas, Eagles is the other one.
The problem is who else in the NFC takes a step? It's haves and have nots in the NFC right now. So do we see the Saints take a step next year? Do we see somebody like that is going to take a playoff spot from Philadelphia? Somebody's going to back their way into a playoff spot in the NFC because the NFC's trash. So somebody's going to back their way into a – it's not trash. It's great or bad and not a whole lot of in-between. So either they're – I just think somebody's always going to back their way into a playoff spot. Rivera backed Washington into a playoff spot 2 years ago, right?
Right.
So you can – Philly could still get there because I think Hurts has more than what you saw this year.
So it's definitely not Arizona and definitely not New England.
Definitely not Arizona. Definitely not New England. Definitely not Dallas. Definitely not. I don't think it's Pittsburgh.
Neither do I.
Because I think the offensive line's going to improve.
So we're in that Philly camp. We're in that Vegas camp.
I think Vegas is the one because of the division.
Okay.
All right, guys, last one. Roughly 44% of Hall of Fame votes have been counted, and the early results have both Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens just missing the 75% mark. Would you say either player will make it in their final year on the ballot?
I would not, no.
I've read two stories now, and both people say, this is a shame. I'm anti-steroids, but both of these guys should be in, and it doesn't look like that they're going to make it.
No.
Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens look like they're not making the Hall of Fame.
Is there something? Okay. Do you put them in without owning it? Because there's a difference to me between you did it and you owned it, and you did it and you're still bald-faced lying about the whole thing. Now, you didn't Ryan Braun the thing where you tried to make someone else lose their career and lose face by telling a bald-faced lie. You didn't Lance Armstrong the thing. So you didn't do that, but you also didn't own it. Like, Andy Pettit owned it.
There it is. Why can't people just look at the Andy Pettit situation and go, man, get it off your conscience and you can already start the redemption tour?
As soon as A-Rod owned it, it's over.
Now he's the most likable guy on TV, it seems like. Yep. Anytime he says anything on Sunday Night Baseball, everyone's like, man, when did A-Rod get cool again? 657. Speaking of which, I don't know why I connected to, maybe because they just recently broke up. I went to the movies last night, more previews for a new Jennifer Lopez movie, so Jennifer Lopez is still out doing things.
What's the last Jennifer Lopez movie you watched?
You want me to be honest with you? Because I watched it on Netflix a couple of nights ago whenever I was trying to get work done. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'll give you a hit. Ice Cube, John Voight, Jennifer Lopez. Say it.
Was it Snakes on a Plane? What is that?
Anaconda?
Oh, Anaconda. That's the one. Yeah. Yes. Snakes on a Plane is the Samuel Jackson.
Yes.
Well, the last one I watched was probably Out of Sight. There was I like Elmore Leonard, the author, and it was a Elmore Leonard adaptation she and George Clooney did in the 90s.
Yeah?
That's the last one I saw.
It's a really good Jennifer Lopez movie I've always been a big fan of.
What's that?
Made in Manhattan.
Get out of here.
I'm not going to tell you the reason why I love Made in Manhattan, but I always know what the cover of Made in Manhattan looks like. New Balance Knoxville, big thank you to Sharon and her staff. Will, a Cinderella story. It's a perfect fit every time there in the Suburban Shopping Center.
That's right. The New Balance Knoxville, it is the perfect fit. The fit test, they give you wide sizes, extra wide sizes. They have them in the cold weather gear for this time of year. They've got it. You're always buying local when you buy New Balance Knoxville.
All right, let's get to hour number two of the program. Fulkerson off the bench, but hey, who cares, right? Because Tennessee got the W. Next challenge, LSU this weekend at TVA. What Tennessee needs to do to improve from deep, and hey, how free throw shooting got them to the finish line. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. Featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.